Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. I'll read a few verses and we'll address a good portion of the chapter during the message. I'll be reading verse 10, verse 25 and 26, and verse 30 of Proverbs chapter 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have been so good to us to love us and care for us, making a way that we could be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, the greatest blessing of all time. Thank you, Lord. In addition to that, you've given so many of us godly mothers. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for that. Help us as we would honor mothers today. And we're thankful for those who've cared for us, and prepared us for life, and who have labored for thee as a mother. And Father, I pray that your word would be a blessing not only to mothers today, but to all of us, and a challenge to all of us. For many things which we see here this morning, we all are to live and apply to our lives, the things that we learn. Help us in that. God, please fill me with your Spirit, teaching and preaching this lesson this morning. Thank you for the word that's gone forth already to the adults in the adult Sunday school hour, to the children in the children's Sunday school hour. Might we apply it to our lives and grow in thee. And Father, bless this day and draw us closer to you. We pray that you would be glorified and that we would be edified for meeting here today. And Father, we do pray, we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So for mothers here today, please, we have some roses back there for you. You're special. Hey, for moms, if it wasn't for moms, we wouldn't be here, right? I know that's a well-used joke, I know, but everybody had a mom, that's for sure, okay? Well, except for one didn't have a human origin. He came from a human mother's body, but a little different there. Anyway, mom and a virtuous woman. Many hear Proverbs 31, and especially moms, it's like, oh, okay, oh boy, here we go again, you know, superwoman. You read down through Proverbs 31, and you look at what this woman does. I'm going to tell you something. If that was her dating schedule, she didn't live very long, okay? But I want to encourage you. I think when the Bible looks at this virtuous woman's life, it's talking about an overview. These are things that were seen often in this woman's life. Not things that was her recognized her daily schedule, otherwise she never slept, okay? You don't live long if you never sleep, okay? But the fact is, it's an overview. And there are some challenges for us all, not only for mothers. We can be thankful for mothers, by the way, who have ministered in many ways that we'll read here today. And we can be thankful for our mom. I'm thankful that my mom took care of me. You know, I always had clothes to wear and food to eat and taught me how to act right and, you know, in public and those things. And I'm thankful for that. Showed unconditional love, you know, to us all. And I'm thankful for that. So don't forget to let your mother know that today. Amen. And a wonderful thing to do. A virtuous woman. So as we look at this passage, we see that this woman that pursues virtue, she's worthy of praise. And as we reflect on these things, it's my prayer that it would be both a roadmap of purpose and a reason for praise in our homes as we look at these things. This woman is virtuous here, we see. And we're just looking at the virtuous woman, and we see, first of all, number one, she is virtuous in her work. She is virtuous in her work. Verse 31 says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." In other words, the godly mother is going to become known by her doings. She really wouldn't have to say a word as to her relationship with God, in a sense. The hard work, the sacrifice, indicates that this woman probably knows God. And that's the way that she would willingly work. Give her of the fruit of her hands. She works hard. And when you work hard, by the way, what do you get? You get rewards for that. God blesses in so many ways. She's virtuous in her work. A couple points about this. She has a virtuous perspective in her work. Verse 27. "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." She's taking care of her home. She is not lazy. She's not an idle person. And by the way, we can see how these things apply not virtuously, not only to mothers, but to fathers as well, right? And even in the Christian life, having these virtues, a great challenge to us. Matthew Henry wrote, "Though she need not work for her bread..." I stopped with a little question mark in my head there. What he meant was, though she may not be out there making the living to buy all the stuff, you know, to pay the rent and all that, but in those days, there wasn't a mother that need not work for her bread. She had to make it, you know. And by the way, even moms that don't bake their bread have to what? Make out the grocery list and get time to get out there and get the stuff. Okay? So, that little section there actually doesn't fit any moms. But he said this. He says, "Yet she will not eat it in idleness." She'll not be idle. Idleness in life. "Because she knows that we were none of us sent into this world to be idle. That when we had nothing to do, the devil will soon find us something to do. And that it is not fit that those who will not labor should eat." And so we recognize his references to the scriptures there that you know, the devils, you know, will take advantage of those who are idle, not working. Why? Because they're in disobedience to God right there, aren't they? And what do we do when we're lazy, when we should not be? We are giving the devil a foothold. And what, by the way, what are you going to do with that more time you have now that you're disobedient and not working as you should? Well, it's probably not going to be good things. And she's virtuous in her work. She has this the right perspective of work. She's not afraid of hard work. Verse 17. "She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms." Hard work. You know, mothering is hard work. You ever help your wife clean a house, or maybe clean a house for her? That's hard work, folks. You get down there and start scrubbing floors, you know, start cleaning some commodes and doing some of those things. Folks, that's not easy. And if you're not married, as a husband or as a man, I tell you to get married just for that. No, I'm just kidding. But it's hard work. She's not afraid of long days, by the way. Verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Look at the end of verse 18. Her candle goeth not out by night. She has some late nights when the time requires. By the way, maybe some sleepless nights when the time requires to get things done. And she's not afraid of hard work. She's not afraid of long days. She cares for her household. President Trump signed an executive order directing federal agencies to strengthen the work requirements for various welfare programs. The move could eventually affect recipients of Medicaid, food stamps, housing assistance, and cash welfare. The administration argues that despite low unemployment, just 4.1% in March, enrollment in various government assistance programs remains high, even years into the economic recovery. You know that why? Because entitlement makes you lazy. And so the liberal response to that was this: evidence shows that such work requirements have few long-term positive effects on employment and often result in families losing help they need to afford the basics. This was what Sharon Parrott, senior fellow at the Center of Budget and Policy Priorities, had said. It won't really help. And by the way, if you do that, families end up not having the basics. Well, my Bible says if you don't work, you're not supposed to have the basics. Amen. There's the problem. We think people deserve the basics. They don't. The Bible says if you don't work, you what? Don't what? Eat. That's pretty basic, isn't it? You say, what about the children? That's okay. Take the kids. Let dad starve. Okay? But you see, the government does. Everybody has the right. You have the right to the basics. You have the right to perfect health and to pay all your doctor bills paid and everything you need on the table, whether you work or not. That's why our country is struggling so much. It's destroying the character of people. By the way, did you know that to get many of these welfare and Medicaid programs, a able-bodied person only has to be working 20 hours a week? Where do you get that at? 20 hours a week, and they'll have to be working at least 20 hours a week, an able-bodied person to qualify for many of these programs. And you wonder why some people don't want to get off of them? Listen, the Bible talks about hard work, doesn't it? We've had moms that worked hard for us, haven't we? Long hours, hard hours. And what an example that is that they've set. We see some of these things about the work, her work, real quickly. Verses 11 and 12. Her husband is blessed by her work. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a blessing. What else do we see? Her household is blessed by her work. We saw that. Verse 15, she rises up while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household. Beginning of verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. Verse 28, Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her household is blessed by her work. Thirdly, we see that humanity is blessed by her work. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. We've seen moms do that, helping those that are needy, praying for the saints, learning the Word of God. What a blessing. What a blessing her work is. She has she is virtuous in her work. Thomas Edison said this: opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. Isn't that the truth? What else do we see? She has virtuous priorities in her work. And we see about her priorities there that first of all, she cares for her husband. Verses 11 and 12, we saw that. Her husband does safely trust in her. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. There's that wedding commit, that marriage commitment. What a blessing. What a blessing. She cares for her husband. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. If you're a husband here today, God gave you a wife that's fit for you. That you two together become one life. You share one life. And what a blessing that God brings us together that way. She cares for her husband. Right? Priorities. What else? She cares for her household. Verse 27. We saw she looks well to the ways of her household. She's got an order. She honors her husband first. It's not the kids before the husband. She honors the husband first. And cares for her household. It's not the neighbors first. It's the kids. And the husband's supposed to be leading as far as how, as far as the kind of life and character that's supposed to be built in the children. And he and the wife share that, and they come to that one mind on that, and then it is the wife's responsibility to transfer that to the children while the husband's out working. Hey, folks, I know that sounds so odd today, but I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. She cares for her household. She looketh well to ways of a household. Eateth not the bread of idleness. Again, she's not lazy. Here's a verse that makes the feminist movement cringe. Titus 2:13. Paul writing to how certain people should behave themselves as Christians in the church. He says that the aged women likewise, Titus 2:3, I'm sorry, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, notice the order, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, oh, here's those words, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I didn't write that, God did. Keepers at home just means if you have children at home, they need you, Mom. By the way, there's not a more honorable job in the world than being a mother and caring for children at home. There's no such thing as a non-working mother, folks. There is no such thing. We can't have a godly nation without godly churches. And folks, we can't have godly churches without godly homes. And we'll not have godly homes without godly fathers and mothers. and how we need that, how we need that. Recently, President Trump met with a panel who were gathered to share how the tax cuts had benefited them in their lives. Among the group that was gathered there, there was a husband and wife. And they talked about how they got a tax, you know, rebate return back, and even how their wages had increased through the programs of President Trump. And they were very excited about this point. They said that now with their raise, they're able to get the best child care available for their children. And I thought, that's really where we've come to, isn't it? Listen, folks, the best child care for your children is not the care you have to pay for with money. It's the care that comes out of mom's heart. That's the best care. And I know, don't get me wrong, there are some mothers and some godly mothers that have to work. And my hat's off to them. They deserve the respect. There are some that have to get to meet the basic needs. But folks, if mom's going to work just to have a nicer car and a bigger house and a better vacation, mom's going to regret it in the end. And dad's going to regret it in the end too. Because the kids are missing something that God designed for them. Better to scrape by on a McDonald's employee salary and be able to pay your bill, better to pare your budget down and be with your kids than to make more money and think that'll somehow make you and them better. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. When will we learn life isn't about money? It's mammon or God, is what my Bible said. We serve him. We let him take care of the mammon. Amen. I know we need that. We have to pay our bills. I know that. God will take care of us. He promises to provide our what? Our needs, not our greeds. Psalm 127:3. Though children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, what a picture, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It's good to have children, folks. Mm-hmm. By the way, the best disciples you can ever make are your children. What other chance do you have as a married couple to disciple people than to have children and disciple them, tell them about Jesus? See them get saved, you know, between 4 and 6 years old and grow them up in the Word of God. What better opportunity? Send those lights out into the world. Secondly, she's not only virtuous in her work. Secondly, she's virtuous in her will. Look at verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's because when she said I do, she meant it. That's her will, you see. That's the resolve. And what a blessing for that. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh, what's it say? Willingly with her hands. It's not, oh no, another long night. No, she'll willingly do what she has to do to do her part in caring for and leading that family and being a mom, as the Bible declares it. She works willingly because virtuous work brings its own rewards. It's worth it. She shall rejoice in the time to come with no regrets. You see, her virtuous perspective, having things in order, and looking at her work as things that she ought to do, her virtuous priorities make her a virtuous person. She's not only virtuous in her duties, she's also virtuous in what? Her desires. Her desires. Think about that. The kangaroo and the emu are both pictured on the Australian coat of arms for the same reason. Neither one is capable of moving backwards. And you get a virtuous woman, by the way, you get a virtuous Christian. It's forward, isn't it? We don't look backward. No man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We're not fit if we're looking back. Oh, I failed. I can't do anything else for God. You're not fit. We're not where God wants us to be. We're not ready for Him to come. We'd be ashamed if you met Him like that. By the way, we're not fit looking back at successes either. Well, I've already done it all. We'll just coast the rest of the way until Jesus comes. That don't work either, folks. Either way, we're not fit if we're looking back. It's forward till He comes. Forward till He comes. She purposed to do those things. Paul wrote about him and his team in 2 Corinthians 13:8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. I think about Jeremiah when God called him to preach. He says, by the way, when you preach, they won't listen to you. They're not going to hear a word you say. But you tell them anyway. Jeremiah. And Jeremiah got so persecuted, he came to the point where he says, I decided I'm not going to speak the word of God any longer. But he goes on to say, his word was like a burning in my bosom and I couldn't forbear. I had to do what was right and just what? Go forward. Regardless. What a blessing. She's virtuous in her will. She's virtuous in her wisdom. Look at verse 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Matthew Henry said, she not only takes prudent measures herself, but she gives prudent advice to others. She gives this advice not assuming the authority of a dictator, but with the affections of a friend. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness governs the things she says, the kindness of her character, and the wisdom of her words unite to become a two-edged scalpel that performs the most profitable surgery. I like that. Though her hands are most busy in this world, the words of her mouth reveal that her heart is filled with another world. I like that. Grace and truth. She kindly ministers, kindly helps. Husbands, we need that help. You ever notice that God didn't say a thing about the women needing the man? he said about the man, he says, it's not good that what? Man be alone. You ever notice that? Interesting. My wife is a wonderful helpmeet to me. She is just a great, great helpmeet. I'll give an example. You won't believe this. but I don't know how much of a helpmeet she is, but one day I was getting ready for church. I think it was even Sunday. And I was in there, in the bathroom there, and I was my wife was walking by the outside of the bathroom door. She heard me in there slapping shaving cream on my face. And she said, honey, I'll do that for you if you want. I mean, how much more of a helpmeet can you get than that, folks? Okay. She's a great blessing. So many ways. She had that. She taught that lesson to the 60 or so ladies yesterday. And of course, I had things I was doing too. And yet, she wasn't too busy that she took the time to help me with some things for my Sunday school class. Yesterday, gathered some things for me. I wasn't expecting that. What a blessing. What a blessing. She's virtuous. In her wisdom. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Aren't you glad that Jesus, the Bible says that about Jesus, we beheld him, we beheld his glory, as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Aren't you glad that the grace came with the truth? Amen. And we need that graciousness as we share that truth. She's virtuous in her wisdom. Her hands are busy in this world, but her words show that her heart is focused and filled with another world, which brings me to the next point. She is virtuous in her worship. She's virtuous in her worship. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman, what's it say, that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I like that. It astounded me as I was reading this verse. We'll never exhaust this book. You can read this book 1,000 times, and the next time you read it, you'll learn something again. Three words hit me as to how far our world has gotten away from God. Three words hit me in this verse here. Beauty is vain. Think about that. And think about the world out there in society. That's all they're about. It's how you look. You know, if it's a man, you know, whether you're ripped or whatever and got the abs. If it's a woman, you know, it's you got to be look so you can be put on the front of some kind of a magazine. What? Beauty is vain. I thought, oh, thank you, God, that we live in a different world, don't we? Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. You see, the source of her virtuous work and her virtuous will and her virtuous wisdom is her virtuous worship. It comes from the fear of the Lord. It comes from realizing God is first, and I want to please Him. I want to see His smile upon how I've lived the first time I see Jesus. And from that flows all that we have read thus far about the virtuous woman. She's living for another world. During an interview with a group of astronauts, the crew was asked, what do you think is the single most important key to successful space travel? One astronaut offered the following response. The secret of traveling in space is to take your own atmosphere with you. Did you get that? The secret of traveling in space is to take your own atmosphere with you. And folks, the secret of having a victorious Christian life is to what? Take your own atmosphere with you. Amen. We have to live in this bubble. Amen? And look at life. By the way, this shows life how it truly is. Amen. Everything we see with our eyes is what? Temporal. It's going away, folks. Including this body. But the Word of God, what? Stands forever. It endures forever. And we have to take our own atmosphere with us, don't we? When we go out into the world. She's virtuous in her worship. So thankful for godly mothers who have that perspective. Think about, you know, faithful church attendance. Isaiah Thomas Young who is on his way, he's not here yet, has been more faithful to church than most Christians have been for years. Amen? Isn't it a blessing to know the start he's going to have in life?
Amen.
One writer likened people's excuses for not attending church to the excuses to washing, to bathing daily. He likened it like this. He said, his work entitled 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash, instead of never go to church. Included in this was this: I was made to wash when I was a child. Are we getting this? Yeah, they made me go to church when I was a child. I was made to wash when I was a child, so I don't wash. People who wash are hypocrites. We hear about church all the time. Those who wash think they're cleaner than other people. There are so many different kinds of soap. I could never decide which one was right. I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. I still wash on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. None of my friends wash. Probably not. People who make soap are only after your money. Do any of those things actually keep them from washing? Most people probably not. But they'll keep them from church, won't they? See how tricky the devil is? What an amazing thing. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And hence flows the virtue of this virtuous woman from that very fountain. Then finally, we're done this morning. She is valuable in her worth. She is without price. Verses 10 and 29, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Who can put a price on a virtuous woman? She's priceless. And then, what else? She is worthy of praise. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Amen. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. The gates were a place of leadership. You see, a godly woman can become a strong influence for a godly country as she fulfills her purpose as a wife and as a mother. Her husband often is exalted through with her help. And I'm thankful for my wife, Eve, and for the help meet that she is to me. Some men, you know, probably could live without a wife. I don't think I'm would maybe do well without a wife. I don't think that I'm one of those. I mean, y'all better pray that I go before her. I don't know how it would be. I mean, if my wife, he went first. I know you love me, and we've had a lot of time together, but if my wife went first, you might be thinking something like, yes, now, Lord, we love Pastor, and we pray for him. We've enjoyed lots of years with him, but aren't you getting anxious to see him? that might be the case. I don't know. But I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for the Word of God. And I'm thankful that I can get up every day and know that there's a path ahead of me. There's a light that I need to follow. There's a way that I need to walk. And there's a way that I can be behaving and living so that when Jesus Christ splits that sky, I won't be ashamed. Amen. Should that moment be today. And we'd all be ahead if we follow the example of the virtuous mother. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. I thank you for godly mothers, and we have them here in this church. And I thank and praise you for that. I pray you'd bless this day and be special for them. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage and the grace and the wisdom to live virtuous lives, dear God, so that we can make our mark in the responsibilities that you've given us, each and every one, so that we can be a witness for you, to reach out to the lost with the gospel, and strength and encouragement to the brethren, that we might mutually edify one another. And dear God, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. And we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.